crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
And the pitch.
Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Hoskins. And the Brewers have the lead on the 20th of the year by Hoskins.
Whew, game of the year candidate right there. Brewers win 1-0 with Bob Uecker on the call for the go-ahead homer from Reese Hoskins. This was the pitcher's duel of pitcher's duels. Tobias Myers, Nick Martinez, step for step, pitch for pitch. This game was scoreless into the seventh inning. Finally got some traffic in the eighth, and then Reese delivered the big blow with two outs. Of course, another two-out run for the Brewers tonight. 1-0 to win. Tobias was great. Yoel was great. Devin was fantastic. This felt like a playoff game. I mean, this was 38,000 strong. The crowd pop, the cheer, the roar, if you will, when Devin struck out Ellie to open up the ninth inning was one of the louder regular season roars I can remember. I mean, it was almost as loud as the home run from Reese. It's so rare to get your popcorn moment, you know, in every single at-bat. And when you get those type of, okay, I got to lock in on this, AB, it's like the Trout and Ohtani at-bat in the World Baseball Classic, right, a couple of years ago. That was Devin Williams, Ellie De La Cruz. That is a, hey, don't talk to me. Let me lock in on this. I want to see this at-bat. That was incredible baseball. I know some folks want a little more action, and as they say, chicks dig the long ball, but man, the absolute like quality, the standard that was raised tonight, both Martinez and Myers were fantastic. This wasn't a matter of, you know, one guy getting away with stuff or a bunch of traffic and wiggling out. Like, this was bona fide mano-a-mano pitcher's duel. And they both have similar repertoires, right? They use a bunch of different pitches. They have very heavy carrying fastballs where they're able to get all the way to the plate. Martinez and Tobias had very similar numbers in something we've talked about with the fastball ride. And I thought Martinez, the changeup, which is his calling card, was fantastic. For Tobias, the cutter and the slider were fantastic today, too. 9 strikeouts, a new career high for Tobias Myers. Nick Martinez had 7 strikeouts, and the only reason he's in the rotation right now is because Frankie Montas was traded here to the Brewers. And the Reds put up a heck of a fight, man. That was an incredible game. I'm still kind of buzzing from it. 855-616-1620 if you are too. 855-616-1620. That is the phone number. You can call in. You can text in. The Brewers, they are just on a roll right now. They have moved up to a 5-game winning streak once again. And they also improved their record. They're 67-49. A season high, 18 games over 500. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, and gloat totally, but this is why you play all the games. They could hit another cold stretch. We know that. But for all the folks in July and early August, season's over. Oh, no. Boom, 5-game winning streak. And oh, by the way, as we scoreboard watch here tonight, good news to report from Kansas City. A 4-run bottom of the seventh inning for KC. They've added 2 more in the bottom of the eighth. They're headed to the ninth now. The Royals leading the Cardinals 8-3, which is great news for the Brewers, having already won tonight. With a win, the Brewers would move up to 8 games clear, which would also be their largest lead of the season here in the division. So 8 games up potentially here in a few minutes, and already 18 games above 500, both high water marks for the Brewers at this point in the season. I want to break down Tobias's start a little bit deeper coming up in the next segment. We're also going to talk about the offense, what was going wrong, what was Nick doing so well, and some of the under-the-radar performances from this game that in a 1-0 game are easy to miss and easy to pass up on. We'll break down some of the bigger moments from this one, too. I'm flying solo, so you're welcome to join in. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. 6:20 as the Brewers get the victory 1-0. A few texts that I've rolled in here as well. This one from Doug. This is how you get winning streaks. First, the offense does it, and tonight, the pitching and the atmosphere. It reminds me of 2018. Amazing. Good text there from Doug. Another one agreeing. Absolutely felt like a playoff atmosphere. Sure, you could complain about the offense, but today was just a high-quality baseball game. That one's from the 262. Aaron and Fond du Lac, awesome finish to the game. 5 wins in a row. I'm starting to believe this is the team that can be a top 2 seed in the NL and avoid the wild card altogether. And speaking of that, another bit of scoreboard watching here. The Dodgers and the Pirates, Paul Skenes getting the ball for Pittsburgh up against the Dodgers. Well, it's already 1-0 LA heading to the bottom of the third inning. An RBI double from Gavin Lux off of Skenes. As they've opened up the scoring, the Dodgers are throwing River Ryan, one of their top prospects, in that one. So we'll keep an eye on that one throughout the show as well. Another text here from Tom in Pewaukee. Can't express how surprised and impressed I have been of Tobias Myers this season. Certainly didn't feel great about his rotation in a playoff series after Robert Gasser went down, but Ray and Myers are a solid 1-2 punch that will sneak up on teams, and Peralta is so close to getting it right. I can feel it. I agree, Tom. Let's talk about Tobias a little bit deeper coming up next. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us. 855-616-1620 here on the Brewers as they win over the Reds 1-0 here on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Fun night at the ballpark, a 1-0 shutout victory, the third 1-0 win of the season for the crew. I'm Dominic Catronio, flying solo here tonight. You're welcome to join us here on the program, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Well, let's get to those phone lines now, shall we? 855-616-1620. Let's get to Dan, who's leaving AmFam here tonight. Dan, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. Really an interesting game tonight. I'm so happy I broke my 6-game losing streak to go into game. So that was awesome. But it was kind of a subdued kind of mood until the 8th or 9th inning. I actually shouted out a very bad word. If you remember, Reese had a check swing call, or somebody did, and I kind of shouted out like I was on my couch. I felt really bad about it, but everybody felt really good about it 30 seconds later. And the reason I paid the price to sit where I was sitting is I wanted to see the closer close. And man, did he step up. And that is the most encouraging thing I think the Brewers have going forward. Because that 9th inning, if he pitches like that going forward, this team's good. This team's really good.
Absolutely. I agree entirely, Dan. Having Devin Williams back, it's just an absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of thing where you don't realize what you got until it's gone. Because, man, Trevor McGill did a great job. I'm not taking anything away from Trevor McGill. But in the scenario, right, Trevor's on the IL right now. Let's say Devin still wasn't available. You know, Yoel Piamps would probably get the 9th. And Brian Hudson obviously isn't available right now. So the Brewers are getting reinforcements. I don't know if I'll be able to get it in. Maybe I'll talk about it later. Yoel Piamps has been really good as of late, and I want to make sure we shout that out because he had that rough stretch earlier in July. We'll break that down, hopefully, a little bit later on in the program. Colin, I see you on the line. I want to talk a little bit here about Tobias before I get to you. Again, 855-616-1620. You can call in, get in line. We're flying solo tonight here on the program. Love to talk some Brewers baseball with y'all here listening on WTMJ. A couple of things that jump out to me about Tobias, okay? Fastball command obviously is the number one thing that we always talk about with Tobias. But he found something today with the cutter, and he used it a lot today. He threw a third of his pitches were the cutter. Didn't really force the changeup like he did in his last start. He just pitched to his strengths today. He got away with a couple of them for sure, but at the end of the day, he kept a zero in the run column. Of the 40 fastballs he threw, 29 of them were strikes. Of the 32 cutters he threw, only 17 of those were strikes, so less than half. But yet, opponents are really baffled by that cutter. He got four whiffs on that pitch, and opponents on the cutter went just 1 for 5 on putting that pitch in play. That's a great sign. In fact, the worst pitch of the day for Tobias Myers was really a cutter that caught a little too much of the plate. Here, I'm pulling up the numbers here. 1 for 6, I beg your pardon, against the cutter today. 0 for 4 against the slider, and then the other two hits were on the fastball. But he lives and dies with his fastball because it's such an elite pitch. We saw the carry and him setting the tone in the first inning. Striking out the side and doing so on 15 pitches, two of them looking. And then very quickly, 3 innings into the game, he had 6 strikeouts. And of those 6 strikeouts, he had 5 different pitches with a strikeout. That's not normal, okay? Especially for a guy that has such a lethal fastball. Now, it ended up swaying back to the fastball for the rest of the game. 5 of his 9 strikeouts were on the heater, but he had 1 on the cutter, 1 on the curve, 1 on the slider, and 1 on the change. And if you can draw up, you know, a first time through the order, first 10 batters of the game, where you put a little bit of something in everybody's brain or thinking about this, thinking about that, the fact that he was keeping them on their toes with throwing a bunch of different pitches, getting ahead, and maybe more important than the 0 run tally was the 0 walk tally today from Tobias Myers. He had a few 3-ball counts and a couple of counts that he had to battle in, right? He fell behind 3-1 against Ellie on the second batter of the game, came back to strike him out. He had a 3-2 count on Friedel before he pulled a single into the right side, but no damage done beyond that. He had a 3-1 count on Candelario when he lined out to deep left when Churio tracked it down. Had a 3-2 count on Ty France when he lined out to center field. So there were opportunities for him to give in and be like, I got to make a perfect pitch here and maybe chokes a changeup or misses big. But he pitched the contact and he got good things. He was rewarded from it behind him. There wasn't like that big highlight reel, incredible defensive play today. There were some well-positioned plays as well from Jackson Churio playing deep in left field. But for me, the fact that Tobias blended the mix of strikeouts and contact, it kind of surprised me when I saw that 6 was his previous career high in strikeouts this season. So he gets 9 today, blows past that number, but the crew is understanding now they've got something special on their hands here with Tobias Myers. Over his last 11 starts now, including tonight, he is 5-3. Now, those 3 losses are definitely not his fault in their just solely, and he could have more wins. In fact, in these last 11 starts, 5 of those wins, 4 of them came in the first 4 starts of this stretch. So he hasn't had a winning decision in the second half. But he's got a 1.75 ERA over his last 67 innings, a sub-1 whip, a 2.02 opponent batting average, only 14 walks in those 67 innings. I mean, these are phenomenal numbers from a guy that was, in Pat Murphy's own words, not on the depth chart coming out of spring training. He was not on the 40-man. That's how deep they were getting. And I had found a tweet earlier today. In late April, after Tobias had a tough start against the Yankees, but who can blame him? It was the Yankees. They were playing like the best team in baseball earlier in the year. And he listed all the injuries the team has come through. And I said this on the pregame show today. All of the sudden, the Brewers have depth. Okay, we just mentioned how Ray and Tobias and Freddie, if the Brewers are in a wild card round, it's a pretty solid 1-2-3 there. And then you suddenly have to choose, okay, do you want Montas? Do you want Savali? Do you want Joe Ross? Do you want Bryce Wilson? You've suddenly got options here for this rotation for the final month and a half of the season. Not many teams can say the same, and the main reason that's happened is because Tobias Myers has stabilized this rotation and has been fantastic. Tonight, over these last 11 starts, too, this was the seventh time that he's completed 6 innings. That's insane. That is absolutely remarkable. As the crew, you're getting the microphone all fixed up here, but the crew just getting things in a great stretch right now. Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Colin in Delafield. Colin, you've been waiting patiently. You're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Brother Dom. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, so I mean, I'll just say, I think I was the one who got you kind of fired up previously, you know, of talking about the Adames trade and whatever, and I was just throwing it out there. So I'm sorry if I got you fired up on it, but any case, so moving forward, we can only do, you know, so much. We can bring up guys. Do you think we bring up a Mizorowski or, I mean, are we good enough? I mean, to your point before in your whole soliloquy there, Tobias Myers has been outstanding. Colin Ray has been very, very good. I mean, do we have enough, or do we got to try to still hunt and bring up a guy like, you know, Mizorowski, or try to still fit Hall in there, see what they can give us? Do we move some of them to the bullpen? I mean, I don't know. I want to win this damn thing. You know, I'm tired of us being, you know, the bridesmaid. You know, every year it's like we lose to the, you know, team that either goes to the World Series or wins it.
Yep.
I want to every year go there.
Of course. So, so does Matt Arnold. So does Pat Murphy. So does everybody in that clubhouse, I promise. But, man, if it was that easy, I don't think – if I knew the answer to that, Colin, I don't think I'd be sitting here talking to you, right? But when it comes to Mizorowski, with the way that the Brewers are sort of limiting his workload lately and, you know, making him shorten up, get him used to maybe, you know, deload, as we call it, getting used to two-inning outings and just letting it eat, I really do feel like the Brewers are seriously considering him being that extra spot in the rotation, or not the rotation, I beg your pardon, but in the bullpen. Because remember, in 21 days, the Brewers get to carry an extra pitcher. And Mizorowski can certainly be an option to give him a little bit of seasoning to learn to see if his stuff plays in the big leagues, and then he'll audition for we'll see what kind of a role next spring training. I think it is certainly on the radar for Matt Arnold. I mean, I've asked Matt directly, and they still believe that is a certain that is certainly a possibility. And talking to Matt Arnold recently, just, you know, we talked to him a couple weeks ago about the trade deadline, and a lot of folks have kind of ran away with my tweet when I said that the Brewers, you know, when Matt Arnold said we're happy with where we are, being in a position to buy, but we don't want to just get there. We want to get to the World Series. We want to win a World Series. And some people have taken that after the trade deadline and said, well, really proving it like you're going all in, right? Well, look at this team right now, and you're excited about Mizorowski. You've got three guys that you trust. The only guy that was like a slam dunk that you would have really loved and felt like could have fit in here easily would have been Jack Flaherty, but maybe the price wasn't quite right for what the Brewers thought it was going to be. But that's in the past now. The Brewers, I mean, tonight was the first night they've really been quiet with the offense in the last week. They feel very confident, and they're still waiting on the status of Christian Yelich. So you can think, in theory, when Yelly comes back, when D.L. Hall comes back, probably tomorrow, when Brian Hudson comes back, probably by the end of this homestand, when Trevor McGill comes back, hopefully by the start of the next road trip. I mean, that's four guys right there that either pitch in leverage or can give you multiple innings or is a former MVP. Okay, like, they're not going to get worse, and they're certainly feeling great about things right now. In regards to the top two seeds here, scoreboard watching tonight, the Dodgers have opened up a 3-0 lead now against Paul Skenes. Gavin Lux has got a couple of RBIs off him now. He's got all three RBIs today against Paul Skenes. So it's 3-0 Dodgers out at Chavez Ravine through three innings there. And keeping an eye on Kansas City, that game has just gone final. The Cardinals lose, so the Brewers move to 8 games ahead of St. Louis at this point of the season. 67-49, man, it feels so, so good. Let's talk about the offense coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about Devin and Yoel a little bit later on in the program. I'm way behind on text as well. I'm also behind on breaks. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Let's get to a few of these texts now, shall we? 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. 620. You can text in. You can call in. Hang out with us here on the program tonight. Kevin from Waukesha, Devin Williams looked awesome in his first save situation of the year, and to do it in front of 38,000-plus fans was pretty special. I did see that, actually, on a few tweets from MLB Network and maybe some of the aggregators in the world that share highlights, and I saw a few tweets on the Rhys Hoskins homer. Some of the comments were like, man, what a crowd in Milwaukee, 38,000 strong on a perfect Saturday night for baseball, 72 degrees. This is why we live here, okay? Remember days like today in February, okay? This is why we live here, okay? That was an awesome day for some baseball. Good call there, Kevin. This one, you don't have to say it on the air, but the bleep yeah dev that slipped from Sophia in the post game was awesome. Sophia's the best. Look, I'm sure she's going to be a little bit embarrassed about that, but I've had a few texts from some friends who are watching it live. It's all forgiven, man. That's awesome. And look, when you get such a deep relationship with these guys, and in instance for Sophia and Devin, right? The Brewers in Devin have such a strong relationship, and not to bring up a negative after such a great game, we all remember what happened in 2021. Sophia is one of the people that is there talking to Devin, talking it through with him, letting him speak everything that went wrong in 2021. And then I was there in spring training when he had to announce he was going to have the stress fractures and going to have to sit and rest, and he was obviously frustrated, and we've been seeing Devin rehab here and see him getting closer and closer and closer, and all of a sudden, these last 2 weeks, he's only been used twice, so to finally get those juices flowing, to know what it means to a competitor like Devin Williams, man, I'm really happy that slipped out, because, look, Sophia's a pro, and we've talked about this before, how impressive it is that she live translates for this team. I can count on one hand the other reporters that can do that here stateside. Okay, so Sophia Minert is awesome. She, honestly, like, I have no qualms about it. It kind of reminds me, different context, obviously, but when David Ortiz dropped an F-bomb on a hot mic after the Boston Marathon bombings, and the FCC, because they were carrying that, just said, no, it's fine. It's from the heart. It's all good. So I think that's the sort of same thing that I feel here with Sophia Minert. But yes, that's going to be one of my highlights of the season as well. This one from Aaron in Illinois, by the way, is 18-game season high over. Yes, it is. What a start, what a hold, and what a hit, what a save, what a call by Bob. What a crowd. Just awesome. Player of the game's Rhys. Let's broom him tomorrow. I agree, Aaron. That's good stuff there. This one from Nick. Possible game of the year for the pitching staff. Great stuff from Myers and Williams, and it feels so good seeing his first save in person. In your opinion, what was the biggest takeaway tonight? So I've talked about the praises of Tobias. I've talked about the praises of Devin Williams. I think the underrated takeaway from this game, and this is going to be my opportunity to talk about him, it's Yoel Piamps. And I know he had that rough stretch early in the year. The season-long numbers aren't what we've seen, especially from last year. His ERA is a full run higher than it was a season ago. He's thrown only 42 innings this season. He's got 5 saves. While the Brewers were auditioning who was going to be the closer, you know, early in the year it was Abner Uribe, then it was Yoel, then it was McGill, and he didn't let go, and now it's back to Devin. And Yoel's kind of been bouncing around. He's lost that eighth-inning role, but tonight he came in with an inherited runner. He's now inherited 12 runners. Only 2 have scored. He's found a little bit of a fireman role there that certainly helped him. And for a guy, quite frankly, it's not to put it so bluntly, is sort of pitching for his job because he has no options. There's no roster flexibility for him that if you're in too long of a slump for a team that's postseason bound, it gets harder and harder to keep you around. But oh, don't look now. Yoel, here in August, he's appeared in 5 games, 4 1/3 scoreless. This goes back. He allowed 1 run against Miami, and that game was the Brewers were, I believe, way up in that game. It was 6-1 when he entered. Sometimes you need the juices flowing to keep you in it. But this goes back to June 12th here at home against Washington to start get some confidence back up for him. Not June 12th, I beg your pardon. July 12th against Washington, right before the All-Star break. Over his last 11 outings, Yoel, 9 2/3 innings, he's had some firemen to put out. He's had to come in with inherited runners a handful of times. He has not allowed more than 1 run, just that 1 run he allowed in against Miami when the Brewers had a big lead in that one. And furthermore, he's only allowed 2 hits, only 3 walks, and 11 strikeouts. That's the Yoel we knew from last year when he had locked down the eighth inning for the crew and was fantastic. All of a sudden, it kind of feels like last year when these guys keep popping up and you get, you know, everyone healthy again. When Uribe arrived around this time last season, when McGill was really coming into his own this time last season, you knew you had Devin. Yoel was still pitching well. Piguero was pitching great. And I made the joke, wait a minute, they're all the A bullpen? All of a sudden, the Brewers bullpen, if things go well health-wise, they could all be the A bullpen again. There's a scenario where the Brewers roll into the playoffs, you know, knock on wood, that their bullpen reads like this. If everyone's healthy and everything goes according to plan, Devin Williams in the ninth, Brian Hudson, Yoel Piamps, Trevor McGill, Jared Koenig, Elvis Piguero, and then you've still got guys like J.B. Bukauskas who could come back. Maybe D.L. Hall will be moved to the bullpen. Maybe you've got options in that pen that Nick Mears is certainly an option in that bullpen too. I'm like, all those guys can get a strikeout whenever you need it. That is a nasty bullpen. It's something to get really excited about for the crew. That's my biggest takeaway, that Yoel continues the good times rolling, because that was really the big moment of the game, having Fairchild on first base with one out. He got Marte to strike out on eight pitches, and then India to ground out. And that was so important to get India, too, because you know who was lurking on deck, Ellie De La Cruz. In the eight at-bats Ellie has had in these two games, there's been a man on base for him just once, and he has not reached base either. The Brewers have held him to 0-for-8 with six strikeouts. The easiest way to keep him from wreaking havoc is to keep him off the base paths. And the Brewers have a great game plan so far this weekend against Ellie. This one, just a thought, if they can play the way they have the last 5 days, next week against the Dodgers, we stand a chance at taking second in the league. It's ours. That one from Clinton and Hale's Corners. I agree. The Brewers are a very different team vibes-wise going into this Dodgers series than they were last time I saw them. They were coming off of a split against Colorado. And it's always tough to readjust back to sea level and get things going in the right direction. And then, oh, by the way, you're facing one of the best teams in baseball. And Will Smith decided to touch the sun for a weekend against the Brewers when he just could not stop hitting home runs. This one's a good text here from 847. Nice to know that going 500 the rest of the way gets the crew to 90 wins. That's right. They go 23-23 the rest of the year. That's 90 wins. And that's a playoff team, quite frankly. There's not going to be a team, in my opinion, that wins 100 games this year. The league is too deep. There's too much parity in the National League. I don't see. There may not be any team that wins 100 games this year. I think the last time that happened was 2014 with the Angels, ironically enough, being the last team to do so. That's a good call there. 500 the rest of the way, they're probably a playoff team. That gets the job done. This one in a game with so many strikeouts, it's so good to come away with a win. Hoskins' home run was electric, and the pitching was great, especially Tobias. Definitely a playoff game, that one from the 715. Here, Alex in Milwaukee, I'm very happy it worked out, but why does Piamps get to put in such a big spot? Well, we just broke it down how great he's been since July 12th. And furthermore, right now, without Hudson and without McGill, Piamps has been there, done that before. I think Piguero was up earlier in the game in that seventh inning, just in case McGill lost the lead. You know, if he gave up a home run or if he gave up a double and a run scored, get Tobias out of there, bring in Elvis. And then they go to Yoel with an inherited runner. I think that shows a shift in thinking for the Brewers with their bullpen usage, that they're going to give Yoel the fireman opportunities, get out of jams. Elvis has to be a clean inning sort of guy in the meantime when McGill and Hudson are on their way back right now. I'm very happy with it. I would have gone with Yoel there as well. Mears pitched last night. He's actually pitched in two of the last three, so he was probably going to be down tonight. Not going to pitch Hobie in that situation. Probably not going to pitch Jared Koenig on back-to-back in that situation, given how stressful yesterday was. Totally fine with the decision. Even better about the result. I said I was going to talk about the offense in this segment, and I didn't. Let's talk about the offense coming up in the next segment as well. Brewers get the victory 1-0. What a game. Man, that was so much fun. We're going to hear from Reese Hoskins a little bit later on here in the program. We're also going to talk about the Brewers' upcoming schedule. Eight games up on the Cardinals now, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Just because I was curious, I went back to the 2021 season here, and I'm scrolling through the record. And remember, they went nuts in late June, and it really carried them into July. And they were a solid team in August as well. But the first time the Brewers were up eight games in the 2021 season was August 11th. Today's August 10th, and they're eight games up now on the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm starting to get 2021 vibes. Now, I know the Cardinals, you know, rekindled their voodoo magic that season with a super long winning streak and everything, and it got a little stressful there at the end, but the Brewers at one point were up 14 games on the Cardinals in mid-September. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but the Brewers also on August 10th last year in 2021, if you recall, I think that was the Josh Hader double save game, or was that a Memorial Day? I'm double checking that right now, but I digress. It was not the double save game, beg your pardon, but the Brewers after August 10th last year were 68-46 or in 2021. They are now 60 or better than that, rather. Pulling it up right now. I'm all over with these tabs. You should see my sheet here. 67-49 this season, and in 2021 they were 68-46. So pretty similar vibes to 2021. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Once again, I want to remind you the Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. For this month only, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com today to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Sider, Sider.com. Offense today, it's a mixture of tip your cap to Nick Martinez and, man, you know, they were due for a reality game here after the last week or so of great offense. And, you know, of course, the first hit of the game was a end of the bat, you know, hit the very cup of the bat stoink by Gary Sanchez in the fourth inning. And then he gets hit by a pitch in the seventh inning. Those are the only opportunities the Brewers had with the runner on base. Let's talk about the decision to pinch run Blake Perkins there and why it was so difficult for him to steal a base. I've said it before in this program, but I'll say it again in case you've never heard it before, that stealing bases is a math problem. Scouts and video and a lot of things go into it. The first thing that you have to know is the catcher's pop time, meaning the time it takes to the catcher when the pop of his mitt hits and he throws and the pop of the second baseman or shortstop's mitt is. It's not including the tag. It's just pop to pop. Okay, what is that pop time? Anything under 2 is elite. Anything under 1.9 is freakish. And Tyler Stevenson averages a little over 1.9, which is very, very good. When you're in the big leagues, you got to have a pretty good pop time. The next part of the equation is what is the pitcher's release time? You'll notice first base coaches generally have stopwatches on them. They're always timing the pitcher in the stretch, seeing how long it takes from the start of their rotation or the start of their motion to the release of the baseball. Not the time it travels to get to the plate or anything like that, just the release of the baseball, how long his move takes. Nick Martinez was a 1-1-1-2 today, which means 1.1 seconds, 1.2 seconds. That's extremely what you call fast to the plate. Anything over 1.5, you start to consider. Anything over 1.8 is an automatic green light. So, and then the last part of the equation is who is your runner? How fast is your runner? Blake Perkins is a good runner. And then you can equate the or you can calculate the lead that you would need to steal a bag, and you would know, okay, if I got to run 90 feet, but I'm actually only got to run 78 feet because of my lead, I got a 12-foot lead here, I've got 78 feet to cover, and if my pop time is a 1.95 and my pitcher release time is a 1.2, I'll throw in another half second to three quarters of a second to figure in for the tag and for the pitch to be delivered. You're doing the math there in your head, and you're looking at like 3.5 to 3.25 to cover 78 feet. That's a really hard ask. If all of that adds up to be over 4 seconds, you're running. And nothing was adding up over 4 seconds with Nick Martinez. He was extremely quick to the plate. So the Brewers decided to gamble with one out and William Contreras, who's a double play candidate at the plate. I'm totally fine with the gamble. Didn't work out, and also it helped that Stevenson got a literally perfect pitch to throw on, an elevated fastball. You know what? You hang with him. That's the big deal. And the last thing on Hoskins, I think two things were at play there. Number one, he was able to kind of clear his mind after getting the tough check swing call against him. He didn't agree with it from Phil Cuzzy. Gets right back in the box, home run on the next pitch. That was really cool. The second thing that I have a theory on here He got to see 14 pitches before he stepped to the box. I know Willy Adames ended up striking out after getting ahead 3-0, but that's 6 pitches Reese was able to gather data on. Then Sal Frelick, I know he ended up grounding out, but he battled for 8 pitches. Getting a pitcher, you know, having him frustrated or making him work a little bit harder makes it susceptible to that next batter to get a mistake. And he got a fastball over the middle, and he did not miss it. It was a great swing from Reese. He continues to shine for the Brewers, his 20th home run of the season. And I know he had a slow start to the year, and he had the hamstring issue, but you're starting to see him get hot. And this is a thought that I had a little while ago when it comes to ACL recoveries. It's the first year doesn't really work out that strong, right? So you look at Ronald Acuña Jr., right? He tears his ACL in the middle of the 2021 season. Doesn't come back until 2022. And he didn't have a great season. He had a good season. He had to miss a lot of games too. But he hit .266. He had a .764 OPS. By all accounts, the worst season for him in the big leagues. Then he follows that up with an MVP season OPS over 1,000 for the year. But the big thing about that 2022 season for Ronald Acuña is that he got hot late once he started getting confidence in that leg and trusting what's going on with it. In the second half, Acuña had a little bit better numbers in that 2022 season, but then he really took off for the rest of the year. Reese now is starting to show signs of life, and he's always been a summer hitter. He hits better once the weather gets warmer. And don't look now, but Reese, that's now 6 home runs here in the second half. He's hitting nearly .300 in the second half, despite having a .192 batting average in July. And I just want to take a moment to respect Reese Hoskins' start to his career. In only 50 games as a rookie in 2017, he still hit 18 bombs. Then he followed up with 30 in 2018, 29 in 2019. Shortened season in 20, he still hit 10. 2021, he hit 27. 2022, he hit 30, then he gets hurt in 23. The fact that he's a perennial 25 to 30 home run hitter, when everyone knows you're a slugger, is super impressive. And he's still maintaining about a .450 slugging percentage. Coming off an ACL tear, you got to appreciate it. And you got to figure he's going to keep getting better as these pennant races heat up. He is a pillar, to say the least, for this club. And to have that moment once again, it reminds me of the moment he had against the Cardinals earlier this year back in May when he hit the go-ahead home run in the 8th inning, a 3-run shot to give the Brewers a lead. That was a highlight. Here's another one today. 20 homers on the year for Reese. Loving what we're seeing from him. And he's batting 7th, by the way. This lineup's suddenly pretty deep for the crew. Fun times. I know he only scored one, but it was one more than the other team. And that's all that mattered. We're going to hear from both Reese and the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. Highlights, not many of them, coming up a little bit later. Brewers get the victory 1-0 here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Tom Catronio. Brewers win 1-0. Man. Another series win, by the way. Back-to-back series win, and they've won 5 games in a row. They've now won 10 consecutive series against the Reds. That's just ownage. It's just incredible what they've been doing. I mentioned the 0-for-30 for Devin Williams against Reds. It's actually a little bit better than that, as corrected by Kurt Hoge of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So the number now... Their last hit came August 7th, 2022. 39 plate appearances, 11 and two-thirds innings. Incredible. It's just ridiculous from Devin Williams right now. The manager, Pat Murphy, spoke to the media for a while, but there was an error in the recording here in-house, so it's a little shorter than usual. But don't worry, we got Reese Hoskins on the other side of it as well. So here's Pat Murphy, and then you'll hear from Reese Hoskins as well.
Speaking of the crowd, how did your pregame tour go?
Pre-game.
Your tour of the parking lots.
Oh, yeah. I was riding backwards in the back of one of those golf carts, and I could just inhale that gas. I was like, whoa. And then the stop and go, Ricky and I were riding together. The stop and go, the gas. I was like, ugh. I was smelling salts. I had smelling salts the whole game just to get that gas smell out of me, you know? And my nose is I don't smell it anyway, so it was like I was sticking the sticks of ammonia up my nose just to kind of clear the gas smell. You smelled it, right? That was strong, was it? Those sticks, did you get, remember? That was tough. I was letting these kids try it. Maybe that's not good parenting, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I couldn't. It was fun, though. To see all the fans out there was a great day. But
electric golf carts from now on.
Yeah, that one was, ugh. I mean, plus I almost fell off it three or four times, you know. Throwing the shirts and the guys going fast, and Jackson, I almost tumbled.
No, a lot better now. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. It's Jeff upstairs. And I'm not sure if you've ever had an opportunity to hear this or not, but Uke had your home run call. Would you like to hear it?
Of course. A legend, right. Of course.
Uke just said thanks, Reese, by the way. As he's walking out. He's got to go catch his carpool. Let's hear Uke's home run call of Reese Hoskins.
And the pitch.
Hit to left. A token look as he drifted back and watched it go out of here. And it's now 1-0 Brewers on the 20th home run of the year by Reese Hoskins.
Well, Reese, what do you think, bud?
It's legendary, right? Every time. Every time. Every time.
You've hit a lot of home runs in your career. It's a 1-0. You end up getting yourself to 14-game hitting streak. But in that moment, that's a huge home run for this team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Martinez did a really, really good job of keeping us off balance all day. Only a couple base runners throughout the whole game. So, but Tobias did, you know, his best to keep us right there in the game. Pitched outstanding, kept their guys off balance, and we believe with our bullpen that, you know, if we're close at the end of the game, that we're always going to have a chance to win. So it's nice to also throw an ace down and put Devin in the game after the 1-0 and secure the series win.
I saw you taken in that moment as the lights went out, the cell phone lights went on, and I saw you over at first base. Your head was bobbing. You're like, this is sick, man.
I've heard about it. I've been on the other side of him coming in for a safe situation here a few times too. So, you know, excited is not the word you use as an opponent when you see that guy coming in, but certainly tonight it was pretty special. Really, really great crowd. Didn't give them much to celebrate all night, but really cool to see them get into it and get Devin to where he needed to be.
Finish up this chat with facing a guy for the first time. You've never seen Santillan before. How do you go into that at bat in that situation, and what are you looking for?
Well, back end of the bullpen, you obviously know he's got good stuff. You know, everything that the reports say is it's one of the better heaters that we're probably going to see in this series. So I was just trying to be on time as much as I could for that good heater and try to react to anything else. Obviously, he threw the slider first pitch and kind of went fishing a little bit and regrouped, tried to get back on the heater, and like I said, make sure I was on time.
You've been on time for the last 14 days, man. Keep it up, Reese.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Reese Hoskins joining us.
Reese Hoskins and Jeff Levering earlier tonight here on the Brewers Radio Network. How about a few highlights? That's coming up next here on WTMJ.
Ready for this? This.
Get up!
And this.
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Reds game two of a three-game series here at American Family Field. Tobias Meyer has been the Brewers' best pitcher in the second half. He took the ball up against Nick Martinez. This one started off hot for Tobias Meyer. He got a couple of Ks on the board.
Ball two and strike two. Right-handed batting, Tyler Stevenson. And the pitch. Hey, struck him out. Looking. And Tobias Meyer, despite the protest from Stevenson, winds up striking out the side.
Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ. Nick Martinez was matching him blow for blow, though. Both teams
were scoreless through three. In fact, neither team had had a hit through three. Tobias kept things going in the fourth.
He went eight scoreless, allowed four hits that day. 0-2 pitch. Struck him out. Blew a fastball by him. Eight Ks for Tobias Myers.
He struck out 1, 2, 3 in the order 6 out of 6 times. The first two times he saw them, and fantastic stuff from him. However, Nick Martinez, again, still was keeping up with him. This game was scoreless into the seventh inning. Tobias Myers allowed a 2-out single, got out of the jam. He returned for the eighth, allowed a broken bat single. Then with a man on first and one out, he was lifted. Yoel Piamps would escape the eighth inning with no damage. In the bottom of the eighth inning, Tony Santillan would take over. First batter, Adames struck out. Then Frelick grounded out, and it was up to Rhys Hoskins to try to get something on the board, and boy, did he ever.
And the pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Hoskins! And the Brewers have the lead on the 20th of the year by Hoskins.
Man, what a call. That man, it's not that easy, Uke. That was an awesome call from Bob. So only one thing left to do. Hand the ball to Devin Williams for his first save since September 27th of last season, but he had the meat of the order. Ellie De La Cruz struck him out. Tyler Stevenson struck him out. TJ Friedl, the last man standing.
The stretch and the pitch. Hey, struck him out. Swinging. And he just struck out the side. And the Brewers have beaten the Cincinnati Reds 1-0.
What a call, what a game. Game of the year, to say the least. 1-0 for the Crew. They defeat the Reds and have won the series, and they've won 5 in a row, and they're 8 games clear in the Central. We'll wrap things up after this on WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. Welcome back. Quick little bit of scoreboard watching here in the final segment of the program. I'm Dominic Catronio. Already mentioned the Cardinals losing today to the Royals 8-3. And the weird thing about that series is both of those teams are idle tomorrow. That's just a little two-game series, so no scoreboard watching tomorrow. The Brewers can gain a half game without the Cardinals even playing tomorrow if they get a victory. But the Pirates, they're hanging around. They got two men on and two men out in the sixth inning against the Dodgers, but it's still 4-0 L.A. in that game. The Braves are in a barn burner with the Rockies. It's 10-8. The Braves with the lead in Colorado in the top of the eighth inning. And as far as the wild card picture looks right now, the Mets are struggling. They haven't scored a run these last two nights against the Mariners. It's 3-0 Seattle in the top of the fourth inning as we stand. Also, the Diamondbacks, the hottest team in baseball right now, they are bludgeoning the Phillies right now, 11-1 with authority. So the Padres, they also won again tonight over the Marlins. They are charging on the Dodgers. The NL West came to play. Right now, with assuming the Diamondbacks obviously hold on to win, they'll be 22-9 over their last 31 games. They have been white hot. The Brewers are happy. They don't see them for another month. Brewers get the victory 1-0 today. Tomorrow, 1:10 is the game time. We're on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. On Deck Show will begin at 12:35. It is TBD, but we can kind of read the tea leaves and assume that it will be D.L. Hall tomorrow. A power of southpaw says he'll be going up against Nick Lodolo for the Reds. Brewers going for their second consecutive sweep and trying to make it a season-long 6-game winning streak. Thanks for flying solo with me tonight. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison, as well. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win a thriller 1-0. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, and until next time, keep on swinging.